Talking this morning about biblical fatherhood. So this is going to be an interesting message. I have just wrestled all week with so many things. Set over just a little bit. Biblical fatherhood. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be here. We're not here by accident this morning, Lord. We thank you for that. I thank you for all the men and women that have gathered here. Lord, I pray you would protect them from distraction this morning, and that their hearts would be open to hear what thus saith the Lord to the church concerning biblical fatherhood. So, I've got like three messages usually, always. And the Holy Spirit has just been wrecking me this morning about certain things. And the first one is I don't feel qualified to talk about biblical fatherhood because I wasn't fathered very well. I had a wonderful mother, and I had a good dad, but he didn't father me. And I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. Please fix this ring quickly, whoever's doing the sound. I don't need to deal with that. Thank you. Just turn it down a little bit. I think it's just a little too loud somewhere. But I wasn't fathered well. You know, there's a difference between a dad and a father. There's a lot of dads in the world, donors. You know, they donate their seed and a child is produced. And that child needs to be fathered. And I was not fathered well. So I'm the baby of eight boys. My family's mixed breed. different dads, different moms, different last names. We wound up with eight boys. I'm the baby. There's 20 years separated me from the oldest to me. There's 20 year separation. Literally, by the time I came along, I'm not sure what their plan was. So put him out. From as far back as I can remember, as soon as I could walk, I was outside running around the neighborhoods. I don't know if my folks knew where I was most of the time or half the time. I was being influenced by whoever and whatever I encountered on my little journeys. Now, I'm not saying they didn't take care of me. I had a home, I had food, I had clothing, but I wasn't fathered, because that's different. That means you're engaged. That means you're involved. That means you're providing guidance and direction. And I didn't have any of that. But I met my Father, my Heavenly Father. He changed my world. I encountered his presence. I knew nothing about him. I just knew that I longed for him and what he had and what he was trying to show me. And he was trying to show it to me through this. So, scriptures like when you pray, pray our Father. That intrigued me. That God was not some distant being, detached, but that he's a Father. And he loved me. He saw there was hope in my screwed up, unfathered life. There was He had a plan to begin to mold me and direct me. Listen, discipline me. I'd never been disciplined correctly. I was yelled at, told how lousy I was, and how I'd never amount to anything. I remember that. So I became kind of a driven loner. You know, I'm very people-oriented. You probably noticed that by now. But I actually like being by myself a lot. I really like me. I get along really good with me. In fact, when I'm with just me, most of the time I'm right. About everything. And if you interfere with that, we're not probably even good friends. No, I'm just teasing. But I just didn't have a father, and I found a father. And by the grace of God, accidentally, I saw in this gospel, I wanted to be like him. He's my role model. God the Father and His Son Jesus are my role model. So, with a lot of failures and a lot of mistakes and a lot of setbacks, I began to pursue this relationship with my Father. And it changed me. Still changing me. Started molding me. Showing me this is the counsel of the wisdom. This is the wisdom of the righteous. This is God's counsel. This is the word. I think I had him put that scripture up. We read this 2 weeks in a row. I want to keep reading it because where is it? All scripture. Where is it? All scripture. I'll never change this. As long as I'm the father of this house, as long as Josiah is the father of this house, this is never going to change. All scripture is God-breathed. And as you now understand, if you don't have any of this going on in your life and you find the Lord, all of a sudden this begins to take on a lot of meaning. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. I needed to be taught. It was useful for rebuking. I needed to be rebuked for correcting. I needed correction. I needed to be trained in righteousness. None of that was going on in my life. I needed those things, and that is where I found those things. That is where I still find those things today. My Father. His teaching, His instruction. And this is open to any man who wants to be a biblical father or wants to be just a man of God. Amen. This is the path. It's not out there in the world. All scripture. So that the servant of God, the man of God, the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I was not fathered well, but I have been. Since I found him. Anyone besides me ever get really irritated with the Lord? Because he doesn't change his mind. So, because, listen, he doesn't change his word to adapt to our lifestyle. Anyone ever wrestle with that? Anyone ever come to grips with the fact that he's smarter than you? Your father is smarter than you? So, I wasn't fathered well, but I have been. And can I just kind of go all over the place this morning? They didn't start the clock, so I've got all kinds of time. I love that. I love when they do that. So, as I walked this road and continue to walk this road of being a man of God, being a biblical father, I could tell you story after story. Understand, my life was a disaster heading in the direction of becoming more of a disaster until the Father found me and got me. So, in my pursuit of becoming a father, I married Terry. She married a little boy, really good looking one. No, I'm just teasing. She married a little boy in a grown-up body. And we've grown up together. And I think I'm a better biblical father now, better biblical husband now than I was when we first met. Poor Terry, man, I tell you what. But I remember, can I tell you a couple stories about my kids? I won't go into too in-depth. Josiah is my, but she's still my baby, amen. She still gets irritated at me just like she did when she was a little kid. Fleshy, she's fleshy. But so in the process of following the Lord and learning the ways of God and trying to become a biblical man, a godly man, a biblical father, there's a few test things along the way. And I remember we were very protective of our kids and trying to just do it God's way. I wouldn't change that for nothing. And I think my son said that last week. That's the first time he's ever confessed that. The first time he ever finally said, us having him in church on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night, he wouldn't trade that for nothing. And I was proud of him for saying that. I remember one time when he was in high school, he was in a relationship with a girl that I didn't really care for. And I don't, you know, I care for pretty much everybody, but something about her just made me nervous. And it was a pretty crazy relationship and a lot of fighting going on. And I remember her and Josiah got in a big fight at our house one night. And he went running out of the house, chasing her. She's driving him crazy. How many know sometimes a woman can drive you crazy? No woman admitted that. That was an opportunity. But I remember not really knowing exactly what to do, but something inside of me rose up. I said, go after him. Go after your son. So I did. He's running after her. I'm chasing him down the street. He's telling me to stay out of it. She says something to the effect that he's mine. And I said, no, that's my boy. You won't have him. It was deep. It was spiritual. It was spiritual. And what it was is the spirit of my father rising up in me, saying, no, you won't have him. He's mine. He was already marked for the Lord. Already marked for the Lord. That's fathering. Aren't you glad you have a father, your heavenly father? Listen, he's running after you. He's after you. You think you're all after him because you came to church on Sunday. And he's all after you. He's all after us. And I don't know how it all played out, but I know eventually that relationship resolved and dissolved and went the way I thought it should go. A few years later, I'm setting this up. This is an introduction. A few years later, sorry. A few years later, Tiffany was going through a really rough time in her life and her former marriage, and she was acting a little crazy, and she was running from just a bad situation. And one day, she just kind of disappeared. I called her former husband. I said, "Where's my daughter?" And I don't know. I said, "Well, you should. Because you're the man of the house. And if you ain't going after her, guess who is?" And I called her and finally got a hold of her, and she was hundreds of miles away from home. Heading in a bad direction. I said, "You need to turn that car around and come home." And she, first she said, "No, I'm not going to, I'm not doing it." And I said, "You either come home or I'm coming to get you." And I was ready and willing and able to chase down my children, to protect them from the world and the flesh and the devil, because I had a mandate, not only to have a heavenly father, but to be a father. And she obviously turned around, and that's why she's still alive to this day. And God worked it out. So, sorry to set this up with tears, but the idea of a biblical father means a lot to me. Any men in the house this morning? Any men in the house this morning? Because if you are a man, and I don't want to have to describe to you how you know that, because I think we know that. If you are a man, you are either going to be a father, or you're already a father, or at least a dad. And I've been thinking a lot this week about biblical fathers and the man of God thing, and the man God wants you and me to be. The man who has taken on the inspiration and the teaching of Scripture and has applied it to his life, because that's really where we're going with this thing. To become a man of God, to become a biblical father, you have to take on the truth and the revelation that has been given to you as your own. The spiritual role models that I have tried to pattern my life after, most of them are in the Bible. Because I didn't know how to be a man. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be a father. But I did figure out that this book addresses all those subjects, if we'll let it. And we need biblical men. Ladies, you better help me on this. We need biblical fathers. We need biblical husbands. The vault of biblical fathers is empty, or at least low today. And the fact of that emptiness is revealed in some recent statistics I want to share with you. 24 million children live without their biological father right now. Like 133%, it's a crazy number. 33% of all children in our country, live without a biological father. There's a difference between a father and a dad. I know that personally. There's a lot of men around here, around the world, that, I'm going to be blunt. Can I be blunt? They sow their seed and they become a dad and leave their children fatherless. Now, you can blame both. I guess you can blame both parties for that. Maybe. But that's not God's plan. Everyone understands that, right? The world tries to minimize the role of fatherhood in the lives of people or in the lives of children. And they've done that for years. One group of in the women's movement said that men are an unnecessary necessity for existence of a family. I'd just like to know men to be known as an unnecessary necessity. All that is needed from men is the donation of their seed. Ouch. It's not true, but it's been said. The evidence bears out that a good man in the home can make all the difference in the world. A biblical man, amen? A godly man. I'm hoping to stir up some men here this morning a little bit. Children in fatherless homes are 5 times more likely to wind up poor. Listen, ladies, you're valuable. God created you. You're extremely valuable. Most of you ladies are either married or wind up married, and you don't want to marry some daddy, some foxy-looking daddy. You want to marry some studly-looking man of God that will love you and honor you and be faithful to you all the days of his life, amen, and will be a father to your children. And you hold the power, ladies. As Beyonce said, if you like it, then you better put a ring on it. If you like it, then you better put a... If you... Ladies. Ladies, ladies, ladies. I got to throw a little story in here for humor. Can I make you sweat, make you nervous? Terry and I had a little connection last night, a little moment. Things got a little heavy, hot, and heavy. It's going to be an exciting night. And then I realized the reason I was hot and heavy was I was out in the yard doing yard work. But see, I understand that yard work is like foreplay for my wife, you know what I'm saying? And anyway, I'm sorry, it's a different sermon. But it got in here somehow, got in here. Guys, you better be paying attention to that, by the way. Come to the marriage retreat, don't miss the marriage retreat. Anyway, love yard work. Children are 68% more likely to use drugs and alcohol in a fatherless home. 68% more likely. See, I was into drugs and alcohol. I had a daddy, but I wasn't fathered. My daddy never sat me down and told me about the why or why nots of sexuality or whys or why nots of drinking and alcohol. He never did it, never fathered me. And I often wonder how different my life would have gone had he fathered me. I mean, God's been good. God has been, I am a miracle. I stand before you as a bona fide miracle that Jesus Christ is dead, was buried, and was raised from the dead and has poured out his spirit on earth. And I am a product of the living, resurrected Savior Jesus Christ and God our Father. I'm thankful for that. But thank God he's willing to step in and father the fatherless. There's a scripture that says it. In a fatherless home, the children have 165% chance of experiencing physical neglect. 74% of these in fatherless homes suffer from emotional neglect. 74%. I get that. They're twice as likely to drop out of school without a father in the home. 85% of all young men and women in prison today grew up in a fatherless home. 85%. You think fathers matter? Think biblical daddies matter? Biblical fathers? The world has never needed biblical fathers more than we need them today. Today, Rock Church, I'm talking to this house. We need biblical fathers. We need men of God. We need you to get serious with God and get serious in pushing back against the world. Amen. Men who will lay down their trifling with the world and the flesh and the devil and become men that are after God's own heart. Amen. You know, listen, you don't have to be sinless to be after God's own heart. You just have to get after God's own heart. Amen. You just need to recognize where you're at. That's kind of all I could do when I came to Christ. Here's the mess. Here, Lord, just do with it what you can. And he want to tell you, he'll answer that prayer. He'll step in. And we need biblical fathers and men. So real quickly, I might be over my time limit. I don't know. Am I good? Matt says I'm good. Can I go on? You promise? No cussing at me afterward. I don't care. I'm the father of this house. Amen. Amen. So, yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Let's hear that. Amen. I like that. Let me just quick share a few things with you, just real quick. Bible truths that will put you on the path to biblical fatherhood. Okay. Number one, man up. Man up. Y'all, the men I know want to be macho. The most men I know, you want to be a man. Well, man up and make the choice of who you're going to serve. If you look over in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua says, you know what? You need to make a choice who you're going to serve. Amen. You can serve the world and the flesh and the devil. But Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. And you can say that, men, about your house, about your house, about you. That doesn't mean you won't have a struggle or trouble, but you need to make a choice. I'm going to serve the Lord. Number two, this is a big one. Humble yourself before the Father to become a father. That's what I had to do. I didn't know nothing, but I understood what it meant to humble myself. I understood what it meant to be teachable. To humble myself. What exactly does this book say to me about being a man and being a father? I humbled myself enough to submit to it, to get under its authority, to read it, to know it, to pray over it, to pray where I knew I was falling short of it, amen, and to repent of the things I needed to get out of my life to continue to walk in it. Humble yourself before the Lord. And it says, and he, listen, men, listen to me, men. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Number three, pursue good things. I'm going to read this one to you. I have to find it. Pursue good things and flee evil things. Pretty simple, huh? 2 Timothy 2:2 says, flee youthful lust. Okay, guys, listen to me, men. You're growing up. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, I behaved like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay, I want to tell you something. I'm just going to say this as flat out as I know. Pornography is a childish thing. I'm not going to make it like it's some big demon you can never get free from. Yeah, here's how you get free from it. You make a choice. I'm done with pornography in my life. I'm done with it hurting my family. I'm putting it away. Because I'm a man and I have the power to choose. Amen. The devil doesn't make you do it because the devil can't make you do it. So quit believing that lie and just say, you know what? I've had enough. You're not allowed in my home anymore. In the name of Jesus. Would someone get with me on that, guys? Come on. Come on. Listen, you're going to see it. You're going to be tempted by it. It's all around you. But you know what? No. No. Just say no. That's it, man. Let's not make this complicated. Like, the devil's going to hold me in bondage for the next 30 years and make me look like an idiot and embarrass me and make me ashamed of myself. That's not from God. That's straight from the pit of hell. He sucks you in. Then he tries to kill you with it. Amen. Just no. Just say no. It's enough. If you're struggling, get on your face before God and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you promised me you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You promised to set me free from all sin and the dominion of darkness, and I'm staying on my knees till I'm free. Amen. How about that approach? Biblical, that's the path to biblical fatherhood. Pursue righteousness and godliness. You hear that? Paul's saying pursue. He's saying you're free to pursue it. You can pursue evil or you can pursue righteousness. Pursue the good stuff. Amen. Like Whitey's. Amen. Almost done. Am I right?
Yeah.
Sorry. Love your wife like your kids. Listen, love your wife like your kids are watching. Love your wife like your kids are watching. You know why? Because they are. Amen. By accident, I think, listen, I haven't got this loving Terry down. Loving Terry is an intricate... She's easy to love, but I'm not easy, okay? But I'm committed to loving her, learning how to love her as a biblical father and as a man of God. And I'm committed to doing it. One of the things I've learned is, guys, you won't like this. The greatest among you be the servant of all. I want to serve my wife. I want people to see me serve my wife. Because the greatest among you, who is Jesus, was the servant of all, and I'm following him. He set the example for me as a husband, as a father. I'm not looking for her to serve me. She does, but I'm not looking for that. I don't even always like when I have to serve her. I moan sometimes about it. If your wife ever asks you to do something, men, and you moan about it? I have a moan that is, I'm doing this anyway, moan, even though I don't feel like it. Do you know when I do that one? You would know that. She would know. But you know what? But here's what I've decided. I'm a man. Do it anyway. Amen. I'm a man. Do it anyway. Ephesians 5, 25 through 29, it's all in there. Go read it. I don't have time to give it to you right now. Last of all, real quick, men, real quick. Fathers. Fathers provide, daddies hide. We got a culture of daddies out there running. And the IRS is after them for that child support. Amen? Because fathers provide. They stay and provide. Daddies hide. I made a decision years ago. It gets tough being a man sometimes trying to provide. I think it's the man. Listen, I think it is the, and you won't like me, some of you won't like me for this, but I'm old-fashioned. I think it is the man's primary responsibility to provide for his home and his family. It's primary, the man's response. If a woman works, I never had a problem with that. That's between you and your husband, whatever, however that plays. But it is the man's primary responsibility. And a man of God, a father in the house, will provide and do whatever it takes to provide. I have done that for 40 years. I've been married for 39 years, October 2nd, and I have worked one job, two jobs, three jobs. I have done whatever it takes to make the bacon. Amen. I'm going to provide for my family. That's the man's job. Amen. God's men provide. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 5:8 or 6:8 that a man who will not provide for his family, check this out, is worse than an unbeliever. How in the world do you get any worse than that? Amen? So this is important for the kingdom, important for the house. Men, do not shirk your responsibility of being hard workers and providing and think. Use this thing. Put this on the forefront of your brain. Think. There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to work a living. And nowadays, you might have to work a few different careers. Amen? But whatever it takes. I'm a man. I want to be a biblical man. I want to be a biblical father. I don't ever want my kids to wonder if I'm going to take care of them or if they're going to be provided for. I'm off the hook now, a little bit, kind of. Now I'm just spoiling my grandkids, amen? Anyway, I could go on and on and on and on, but I'm not going to. I'm going to reach a conclusion, and here it is. Now listen, there's hundreds of things in here that speak to men about being biblical fathers and a man, a biblical men. Hundreds. But here's the conclusion I reached for this message. There is no conclusion. This is something you've got to set your mind to do the rest of your life. You'll be doing this till Jesus comes back or you go to be with Jesus. That's the conclusion. Amen? That's it. That's the conclusion. No utopia all of a sudden. We're going to be fighting. Scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. Amen? And as men of God, as fathers of the house, we are going to fight the good fight of faith. We might be good men now. We might be better fathers now. But we're going to be better men in the future, and we're going to be even greater fathers beyond that. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for the spirit of fatherhood that's all over this house. I thank you for being adopted into your family as your children. And I pray that this word would not return void, but it would accomplish in our hearts everything you desire for it to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, Rock Church.
Why don't you guys go ahead and stand on up with us?